as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool. You gotta be calm. You gotta stay together. All I know is love will save the day. Herald what your mother said. Read the books your father read. Try and solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Some may have more cash than you. Others have a different view. My, oh, my. Hey. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know is love will save the day. Time asks no questions, it goes on without you. Leaving you behind if you can't stand the pain. The world keeps on spinning, can't stop it if you try to. The best part is danger staring you in the face. Oh, well then listen as your day unfolds.
You gotta be
challenged, what the future holds. Try to keep your head
hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger.
Love is they make
cool. You gotta be calm.
Go ahead and
stay together.
All I know
is love will save the day.
Listen as your day unfolds.
You gotta be challenged, what the future holds.
The day you gotta be listening to Progressive News Weekly if you really want to know what's happening. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly, and yes, you are in the right place at the right time. My name is Daryl Clark, and it is truly a pleasure and an honor to be here with you this evening. Thank you for taking the time out. Truly appreciate you tuning in to catch news and information that, well, we've brought together, called together, we like to say, from around the world. And it's news you can use. It's truly news that's intended to encourage you and enlighten you, empower you, hopefully, because we are about action, it will instill you to get involved and take action and make a difference. We don't get off the airwaves without some information and or deliverable that you truly can engage with or engage in. Today is no exception. Today, For those of you on the mail list, you already know. And so I'm going to put a little teaser out there. No, I'm just going to get straight to it. We have an impromptu guest that's going to join us very, very shortly. And he's been with us many times before. And I say impromptu because if you are on that mail list, well, you know that he's not listed on the newsletter that we send out every excuse me, every week. And so he's not on this week's newsletter. But I had a conversation with this individual earlier, and he asked if he could participate and just share a little bit of information because he hasn't been with us for actually a few months, I believe. At least a couple of months. So who am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about Dr. Glenn Mendoza. Yeah. Affectionately known as, and respectfully known as, Master Glenn. Master Glenn will be joining us very shortly, and so I know you're looking forward to that, no doubt, and I'm looking forward to it, as I said, because it's been a while since he's joined us. And I'll get a little bit into, for those of you who don't know and are new to Progressive News Weekly, I'll get a little bit into exactly what he's all about. Happy spring. Tomorrow we have a spring equinox. The day is supposedly just about the same length as the evening. And then I'm going to talk about this little thing in my throat in a moment, too. And then, of course, the days begin to get longer. And, of course, with those of you who celebrate daylight savings time, you got an extra bonus here about a week or two ago. It's all good. It's in terms of what the outlook is ahead. Speaking of outlook ahead, we're going to be in the weeks ahead, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be joined by our resident numerologist, Dr. Craig Wright, as we go into another season. And it's always a joy to have him give us some insight from a that was Daryl Clark language, numerological perspective. Also on the horizon, before I go on what's also on the horizon, for those of you on the East Coast, spring equinox, 2 to 5 inches of snow in New York City and surrounding burgs, including where I am here in Plainfield. So tomorrow evening we'll have about 4 inches, I'm told, on the ground of snow. You know, this is the winter that did not want to leave. Now, in terms of what is on the horizon, for those of you in the tri-state area, or plan to be in the tri-state area, we are going to be joined by one of my favorite, Dr. Dick Gregory. And when I say joined, I'm speaking live. That's right. Mr. Dick Gregory will be joining us live here next month in about 3 weeks. So if you're in the tri-state area, right here in Plainfield, New Jersey, we are going to have Mr. Dick Gregory for a special engagement. Yes, he's coming out, so you know I'm loving this. He's been on Progressive News Weekly over the last 5 years, at least 4 times a year, 3 times a year. We celebrated his birthday here. Was it last year? It fell on a Thursday. So I'm truly looking forward to this this visit. The price is right. It's $12. And he's just going to, we're just going to just open up the mic for Dick. Of course, we're going to ask him a few questions just to kind of get him steamrolled. So come on out. It's going to be a nice treat. It's going to be a celebration of African-American heritage. Who said we have to stop in February? And there's going to be some honorees. There's going to be live bands, a dance troupe. It's going to be a good time. So if you'd like more information, drop me an email at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A-1-8 at msn.com, and I'll be sure to get the information out to you. There'll be a historical journal that you'll also receive with entry, because as you all should know, Mr. Dick Gregory is a historical icon. He evolved from a comedic platform to be one of the most perennial elements in our society in terms of change and progressive thought. So it will be a treat. In fact, I was talking with Mrs. Gregory earlier in the week, and he's going to actually join us in about 2 weeks here on Progressive News Weekly, just to kind of get us seasoned for his live appearance here in Plainfield, New Jersey. For those of you who are wondering where Plainfield is, it's about 23 miles out of New York City, just west of New York. And that would make us, maybe it's about 25 miles, and that would make us about 23 miles just west of Newark, New Jersey, maybe about 50 miles north of Trenton, just to give you an idea where we are. So come on out. Let's pack the house. It's going to be at the high school, which is a fairly large venue in their modern auditorium, and it'll be a nice treat, a lot of fun. I mentioned that we do have a impromptu treat, someone that I always enjoy joining us on Progressive News. And he, again, is not on our newsletter, but I spoke with him not too long ago, even today. He is Dr. Glenn Mendoza, referred to as Master Glenn, and reasonably so. Dr. Mendoza is truly a blessing for us in that he is sought after worldwide, and you know, he regularly comes on our program. Just to enlighten us, he's a master in meditation. He's also a pranic healer. And in case you don't know what a pranic healer is, he's someone that specializes in energy of the spirit. And if you don't believe you have energy, think about those times when you met someone for the first time and you just picked up a vibe. Well, that's energy. And so Master Glenn will be joining us in just a moment, and he's going to talk a little bit about astrological sign of Pisces. He's only going to join us for a few moments because we don't want to... we don't want to take too much time away from our special keynote guest which if you all have been reading your newsletter, you know who we have coming back, Dr. Lynn Lewis. And, oh, boy, hold on to your seats for that one. So, jam-packed program today. Should be a wonderful time. And let's see if we have Dr. Mendoza in the screening room here. Let me look over here. No, it doesn't look like we have him. Cecil, do we have Dr. Mendoza? No, we don't. The reason why we... Cecil, we do? All right. Looks like Dr. Mendoza is with us. So, as I said, this is very impromptu, and he doesn't have much time because he's actually doing a worldwide meditation this evening. But I spoke with him, and he just so graciously was willing to join us. Dr. Mendoza is a master pranic healer, a specialist in meditation, and so he's going to talk with us a little bit about the equinox. And we only have about 5 minutes, so let's get right to Dr. Glenn Mendoza before we bring on Dr. Lynn Lewis and we start talking about relationships in honor of Women History Month. Dr. Mendoza? Hello? Hello? Okay. See now. Bye. Hello?
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off. Press 4. Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off. Press 4. Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off. Press 4. Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
Okay. Technical difficulties. So let's try this again. Let's try it again, folks. Here we go. Live radio. What can I say? All right. So we had Dr. Mendoza. And let's see what we've got here. Cecil, where is Dr. Mendoza? Here we go. Okay. So, anywho, as I was saying, we're bringing in Dr. Glenn Mendoza. And he is going to talk about full moon. Hello, Dr. Mendoza?
Yes.
Oh, I apologize. Yes. We had some serious technical difficulties here.
March Madness.
March Madness. You know, we talked about that earlier, didn't we?
Yes.
I know you don't have much time. And I appreciate you taking your time out spontaneously. So let's get right into it. I've already introduced you to our listeners and those who are new to Progressive News Weekly. And when you return, and I think we talked about that as well, full moon's coming up in a couple of weeks. So we can get into some of what pranic healing is at that time and some of the other energy aspects of our existence. But for now, you would talk a little bit, and I know you only have about 7 minutes. Would you tell us a little bit about the equinox? I know that's something that a lot of folks always hear about and wonder. And then if you would, with the remaining of those 7 or 6 minutes we have, just talk a little bit about what are we in, the sign of Pisces?
Yes, yes. We're finishing up the Pisces soon. Talking about the equinox, there are what is an equinox? We have the spring equinox. Equi means equal, and nox means night. So there's usually by tomorrow at 6:45 in the evening, they said the night is equal to day. As you see, we have in our place in the United States, we have the time changes. So it will give time because there are times where in the nights are longer, the days are longer. This is what we call the solstice. But the equinox is what we call when there's the equal, supposedly there's an equal time of day and equal time of night. So what does this mean? These are what we call cycles. We live in cycles of life. And depends on where you are. In the northern hemisphere, we call it the vernal equinox or spring equinox. Vern means spring, so it's a spring equinox, which happens in March. But if you are in the southern hemisphere, it will be basically the winter equinox. So anyway, why is this important? It is important because in the whole year of 365 days, we have this cycles wherein it's an auspicious time also. In fact, it's not only an auspicious time, I believe we're going to have the first solar eclipse tomorrow. The first solar eclipse, I think, for the year, we're going to have it tomorrow, and we have also what we call the supermoon. I saw that we have three things that will happen tomorrow. We have the spring equinox, we have a solar eclipse, and we have a super moon. Okay, so we describe already what the spring equinox is. So what does that mean? As you can see, it starts the spring. Spring starts actually tomorrow. Actually not tomorrow, more on March 21. But when we are on spring, this is a new cycle of life, a new life. After winter, we have spring. So our cycles in life will reflect it. So we were talking about Mark Darrow, we were mentioning, and some people may, who are listening, may probably realize just March has just been so busy. Darrow and I, we were talking about our lives, professional, personal lives, just after another, after another, after another. And it's not chaotic, it's not crazy busy, but busy enough that one thing comes after another that you hardly had a short time to breathe. So hopefully the spring equinox will give a new life for us. The super moon means that moon is closer to the earth. So visualize the sun on the left side. We have the moon on the middle and the earth on the right side. This is what's going to happen tomorrow, which is a solar eclipse. So you will see a super moon, which is actually a big part of the moon is the closest to the earth, so it's big. By and large, overall, we would say that it's an auspicious time to meditate, auspicious time, especially if it's a new moon. The new moon compared to the full moon is a new start. You could if you want to start a project, it's nice to start in the new moon. If you want to discuss new things in the company to implement new things, it will be good in the new moon. So those are the important things I could say about the equinox, the new moon, and the super moon, which are happening tomorrow. It's an auspicious time, so. Overall, we should be welcoming the spring. Of course, I think for us in the Northeast, particularly in Boston, if people are listening, I think we had enough of winter. We'll be excited of having spring and feel the warmness of summer and all that. I hope that helps, Daryl.
It really does. I think I have 1 minute left for you. Can you tell us? I know we're leaving the astrological sign of Pisces. Tell us some of the attributes, if you would, for our Pisces listeners or those who are related to or know Pisces individuals.
Pisces is the fish. Pisces is fish, and of course, fish habitat is water. So, by and large, Pisces are oversensitive. I would call it oversensitive as a positive trait because you don't want to be emotional. You know, sometimes they're sensitive, they're intuitive, so they know how other people feel. Number two was that they help others. They try to help others. They are other consciousness. They're not me type of thing, but others. Number three was that they are a social. They like idealistic. They're very idealistic. They're idealistic and love struck. So they want to the ideal in life, the ideal love, and those are good things of a Pisces. And they are sensitive to other people's feelings. So those are positive qualities of Pisces, which during the month is very strong, and we're coming into Aries in the next couple of days, which is a different one. The Aries is me, a self. So we will discuss that on April 4 during the full moon.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. I'm looking so forward to that, you can believe. Well, Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn, truly, truly do appreciate you, the time that you've taken out. I know you have a meditation tonight, in fact, that you're going to be doing, honoring Master...
Joe Akatsui, yes. He's the founder of Pranic Healing. Usually we honor him. This is the day when 7 years ago he left his body, and we call it Maha Samadhi. Maha means great, and Samadhi means oneness. So a person who is spiritual, a great spiritual teacher, when they leave the body, they have great oneness with God. They have great oneness with their soul. So those are the things that we honor. We will honor his life, his work, and his teachings, and how it had affected millions of people throughout the whole world.
Well, how would someone dial into that meditation if they wanted to?
Oh, we just do a meditation. We just do a meditation. We discuss a little bit about his life, and we have a short video of Master Choa teaching about virtues like loving kindness. That's the program we have tonight. So people could still... connect to it. It's open to the public. You could log in to PranicHealingUSA.com, Pranic, P-R-A-N, Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, USA.com.
Fantastic. Well, for those of you who just joined us, thank you so much. Dr. Glenn Mendoza has been giving us a little enlightenment on the equinox, the spring equinox. He talked a little bit about this astrological sign of Pisces, and he is a board certified MD, but he's also a master in pranic healing, and it's acknowledged there's as few as maybe 10 in the whole world. So thank you so much, Dr. Mendoza, and looking forward to talking with you next month.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening also. Thank you very much.
Namaste. Okay, so that's what happens when you catch progressive news on a spontaneous note. Okay, so everybody's buckled in and we're ready to go. And now we're going to bring, and I know everyone's been anticipating our next guest. I just from what I'm hearing. In terms of getting feedback. So without further ado, we're going to be now joined by Dr. Lynn Lewis. And if you tuned in last week, you had a little bit of a treat. I had an engagement that I could not get out of, so I had to do a replay. For those of you who caught that, you got to hear a little bit about the breadth of what Dr. Lynn Lewis brings, as she had joined us for Black History Month, and she did a piece on speaking to that. But now, Dr. Lynn Lewis, who is a professor of sociology, author, a therapist, a sociologist, relationship expert, she's respected nationally as a relationship guru. She's going to join us today, and of course, she will be returning because we can't, when we have someone the likes of a Dr. Lynn Lewis, get everything in that we want to in 30 or 40 minutes. So she'll be joining us in the weeks ahead, as many of our partners of Progressive News Weekly do. And I'm looking so forward to this relationship. Today, it's going to be relationships we're going to talk about. I'm going to ask her a little bit about women's history as well, because she has done extensive research on that as well. In fact, Dr. Lynn Lewis has actually done, and she's created a reenactment of the historic 1964 National Democratic speech given by Fannie Lou Hamer, and it was met with rave reviews. So without further ado, we have Dr. Lynn Lewis, who's consulted numerous Fortune 500 companies on cultural diversity, team building. She's been on Fox News, CNN, BET, and she's written a new book, Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game, How to Spot Ineligible Bachelors. And you know we're going to get into that. So yeah, we're not going to finish this dialogue this week. We're going to have to carry this on as a series for sure. Dr. Lewis, welcome to Progressive News Weekly again.
Thank you so much. I know I'm going to have a wonderful time talking about the subject and talking with you.
Of course. You know, I'm tempted to jump right into the book. I know everybody's just like waiting to get some of that info. But in light of women's history, I just want to touch upon that Fannie Lou Hamer. What was it about Fannie Lou Hamer? I mean, there's a lot of reenactments that are done. In fact, I was at one a couple of weeks ago, and fantastic. Folks, if you can ever get to a reenactment, you know, get out there. A sister, Christine Dixon, does Harriet Tubman. And,
okay.
I felt like I was in, you know, in the room with Harriet Tubman. She took us all the way back, you know, took us on the Underground Railroad and different ventures of it. So tell us a little bit about your target, Fannie Lou Hamer, why you chose her, and a little bit about that reenactment.
Yes, I'm glad you asked, because Fannie Lou Hamer is such a giant and a legend. And even though she was formerly an unlearned lady, she was truly a very gifted and talented and wise and intellectual woman. And she mainly fought for voter rights and human rights and civil rights. She grew up sharecropping. She sharecropped 19 years, and she was a timekeeper. And in spite of her meager beginnings and how she had to scratch to make it, and she lived on a plantation in Ruville, Mississippi, she never lost sight of the real essence of why we are here, to raise the level of humanity, to fight for human rights and civil rights. And she targeted voting rights, but that was not exclusive of other rights for which she fought. And on her way to a voter registration workshop, the bus was stopped by a group of police officers and sheriffs. And they ticketed the driver of the bus. Listen to this, Daryl. They gave him a ticket for driving the wrong color. Not the wrong way. Driving the wrong color. Exactly. And they arrested all of the passengers, and they took them to jail, and they beat Fannie Lou Hamer unmercifully. And she could hear another woman being beaten at the same time she was being beaten. And she remembers how the woman started to pray. And she said what really caught her attention was the woman wasn't praying for herself. The woman was asking God to have mercy on the man who was beating her. And what made Fannie Lou Hamer's beating so heinous and so denigrating is that the officer had two black men to beat her. The first one, she said, he beat her until he was too exhausted. And then they gave the whip to the other man for him to beat her. And they wouldn't let her holler or scream or anything, and she was obviously in excruciating pain. And in spite of that, that's what she testified at the National Democratic Convention, but in spite of that kind of brutality which was put upon her, she continued to fight until the day she died. And that's why I love Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
Wow. I mean, you talk about the resilience of our people. That really exemplifies that. And
exactly.
You know, two things, you know, that I'm sick and tired of being tired.
Yes. A famous quote.
A famous quote. But then driving while black. I didn't realize that was actually something that was, considered illegal in some cases, literally, in those terms. So it's more than
right.
just an old...
Here's what's interesting. I'm from Monroe, Louisiana, and I was talking to my brother, and he was giving me his take when he grew up about bus drivers, and he said since all of the bus drivers he saw were white, he thought that driving a bus must be real complicated since they wouldn't have any black people driving it. So to have a black person driving a bus was a very rare kind of thing. And the reason this person was black driving Fannie Lou Hamer and others to the voter registration workshop was because no white person would drive them. But they ticketed the black person, and the ticket was driving the wrong color. Have you ever heard any such sickness?
That's pretty sick.
Yes.
And you know, it underscores the importance of African-American history in our schools. You know, that's another hot mine. I mean, hot is an understatement for me. I mean, that
right.
button is hot. It's like the sun. You can't even look at it. I mean, for us not to have African-American history as a requirement, not just in inner city and urban black districts, which is crucial and critical, but across the board, that's critical for any real
right.
change to happen in the country. And I'll submit to you, that's one of the reasons why we're having a lot of these problems we're having now with our children being targeted in the streets.
I totally
agree.
We
just don't know who we are. The resilience mm-hmm. of a Lou Hamer, for example, and us to understand why we dislike each other. I mean, there's so many
right.
books, Naeem Akbar, Dr. Joy DeGruy, have been writing about this. Jawanza Kanjufu have all written
right.
a book about the fact that this is systemic. It's almost in our DNA, and we
right.
are still suffering from the effects of slavery, whether some people want to believe it or not.
No question about it. We are suffering and have the scars to show for what our ancestors went through, because culture is generational.
You're right. In fact,
mm-hmm.
Time you were on, I think you segued after Dr. Eddie Taylor, who wrote the book The Day the Crabs Got Out, which he's done
right.
a lot of research on, talking about how we, just through history, and basically been taught not to trust each other. And it still prevails. I mean, how many of us, and I'm sure, and this is a good time to have our open up our lines for our listeners, how many of us have been discriminated against by our own color? And I'm speaking from a black perspective. We have all kinds of listeners. Jewish, Muslim, Christian, white, black, Asian. But speaking from an African-American perspective, you know, one of the worst things is to be, you know, discriminated against. I worked in corporate America for almost 25 years in various capacities, from accounting to sales to engineering. And in those 25 years, I'll say the worst discrimination that I received was against me by my own color. You know,
and that's so unfortunate.
Americans. I think it's critical that we have to have the education as what you're depicting. Now, with that said, give us a little snippet, just stepping back a few hundred thousand feet, this being Women's History Month. What's your take on that, on a more general perspective, speaking of women in general, in terms of where we've come? And I'm hoping this will segue into our discussion about relationships and, of course, the book.
Sure. And, of course, you know, women in general have truly been affected by sexism and the inequality that comes with that, inequality in hiring practices, inequality in promotions, inequality in earnings. A lot of this inequality has been highlighted by an article that appeared about a couple of decades ago in the Wall Street Journal entitled The Glass Ceiling. And this article pointed out that in corporate America, there is an imaginary line in the hierarchy of rank order positions beyond which virtually no women or ethnic minorities could travel. And even though corporations could not be taken to task for this, everyone knew it existed. So after it was brought to the forefront in an article in the Wall Street Journal, it received more attention. So what happened is the women were not allowed to move up. Therefore, they were excluded from top executive positions. Then there was a subsequent article entitled The Glass Wall. And The Glass Wall pointed out that in order to move up to the top level positions, that one would need lateral movements because multinational corporations have so many divisions and subdivisions that you would need to have a broad base of knowledge in order to qualify for the knowledge base required for a CEO. So what corporations routinely would do is deny women these lateral horizontal movements that would bring to them a broad base of knowledge about the corporation, and then when they applied for an upwardly mobile position, they would say, well, you don't have enough broad knowledge of the corporation, therefore we can't bring you up to a higher promotional level. So these are some of the inequities that were built into the system that denied women equal access to the social rewards in certain positions in society. And, of course, we know that all women in America were not given the right to vote until 1920. And the 15th Amendment was passed in 1870 that said that all American citizens had the right to vote, but it was not enforced. It was not implemented. Women were denigrated, they were subjugated, and they were denied most of the human rights that had been legal, but they were not being enforced. So women have come a long way, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. We've come a long way in terms of our women in society, but we have so much further to go. just thinking in terms of how much women are paid on the dollar of a man, still.
Right. On an average, women are only paid 79 cents on a dollar.
Yeah.
On an average,
yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
In 2015.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, when you think about that, that's that chauvinistic attitude that still pervades in our society, and women are too often, therefore, looked at as less than, and therefore as objects. And that
exactly.
leads into a little bit of the discussion about relationships and how it seems like disproportionately, because there are relationships where men get the short end of that stick. But I would admit, even as a man, that women seem to disproportionately get that short end for numerous reasons. So with that
right.
said, you've done an enormous amount of research on this, as depicted in your new book, Don't Hate the Player, Hate the Game. And so
Learn the Game.
Don't hate the player, learn the game, how to spot ineligible eligible bachelors. So what prompted you to write this book?
Actually, my students really were my major encouragement group. I would have live talk once a month in my class where students could ask any sociological question. So that means any kind of learned behavior was on the table. But the questions would invariably be about relationships. And one student said, well, you need to write about this. And I remember one time I had live talk, and a group of males came up to my desk after class and said, Dr. Lewis, you're going to have to stop telling these women all this stuff. In a minute, we won't be able to run any game on them. And I found that so interesting, because their position was, as long as women didn't know, they could continue to do what they wanted to do, and that I was educating the women too much. And then the women were telling me, yes, you need to write this, you need to write this. And I began to look over different therapeutic situations where people had come to me for counseling in relationships, and then I looked at data that I would get from my live talk, and I looked at other informal kinds of situations where people would call me about their particular situations, and I saw a pattern. And the pattern was that a lot of women could not discern between men who are single and eligible and men who are single and ineligible. And so many women assume that simply because a man is single that he is eligible for a committed relationship or marriage, when in fact eligibility is a state of mind. So that's how I got to write the book, Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. Let me open the lines up as we move along.
Okay.
We're talking to Dr. Lynn Lewis, and we're about to be in a conversation about relationships. We're going to touch upon some aspects of her research that she depicts in her latest book, Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game, How to Spot Ineligible Bachelors. If you'd like to ask a question of Dr. Lewis on this or any of the topics that we've been talking about, please call 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. You talk about the fact that many or a significant number of women don't discern between being single and being eligible and being
right.
single. And when we say eligible, I'm understanding you to say, meaning good for the individual. In this case, the
right.
The woman.
Where the man is, he's actually interested in a committed relationship that could possibly lead to marriage, versus one of the players would be the gravy train player. He's just like a boll weevil. He's not looking for a commitment. He's looking for a home. And so he's the type who wants to move in with the women and be kept. So before each chapter, I have a poem summarizes and encapsulates the content of the chapter. So he starts out with, "She's my desperado woman and I'm her kept man." And he talks about how much she does for him. So that's one type of ineligible bachelor. And then there's another that's called the gas and go. He only comes around for sex, and then he leaves. And a woman actually gave me that topic. I was counseling her, and she was telling me about this relationship with which she became involved. And she said, "He reminds me of gas and go." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, he reminds me of my behavior when I go to fill up my tank. I go in and I gas up and then I leave." She said, "That's the way he treats me. He comes to my house, has sex, and then he leaves." But what was interesting, Daryl, at no point was she saying she was going to stop the behavior, even though in her next breath she was talking about how she would love to get married. So I'm like, "Well, why are you with him?"
That leads to one of my questions, which is, this society we're in now, from my perspective, appears to be promoting women to dishonor themselves more so. Now, could be, and I need you to help me as the expert, it could be just that there's more exposure to that mindset because of the technology that we're exposed to. Because 40 years ago, we had Ozzie and Harriet, Doris Day, and we only had 3 channels. Now we've got 100 channels, and I would venture to say a significant number, if not the majority, are sex-based in the benefit of the male. So I'm wondering, is it that society's changed, or is it that the mindset is just more prominently exposed and it really hasn't changed much? What's your thought?
Society has changed dramatically. Society has changed not just in terms of behavior of people, but society has changed in terms of laws as they relate to male-female relationships and relationships in general and sexual orientation. We have a whole new set of laws that had to capture a new wave of relationships, a new wave of sexuality. And while we do have a social media and more media outlets, the one thing we have to look at is, if you go back to the 1970s, you've got in 1968, Betty Friedan wrote The Feminine Mystique, because she was trying to say to women, look how you are in bondage. And the overwhelming majority of white females were homemakers. They were in the home. Black women couldn't enjoy that luxury, as it was viewed as a luxury at that time, because of the racial economic discrimination that was put upon black men. So most black women didn't have a choice but to go out of the home and work, in spite of how many children she may have had. So at that time, and that was just, what are we talking, 44 years ago, that was a completely different kind of benefit for being, say, a housewife then versus being a housewife today. And if you'll notice, most women are out of the house and now in the workplace. And then when it comes to black women, when you factor in racism along with sexism, it was so interesting when the white women were burning their bras in the early 70s to demonstrate a kind of sense of freedom and a sense of liberation, black women were trying to get money to buy them. Because they Bonnie was so tight with black women, they said, well, you can burn your bras, but we need to collect money to buy our bras because we don't have the luxury of burning bras. And so now we fast forward and we see not only do we have far more women in the workplace, we also have a significant increase in single women and men. So this is totally different from what the case was like 44 years ago. So, yes, there have been many changes.
Yeah, you have underscored that. You are so correct when you say there's a larger number of single women and single men. So it's
single
as though
men.
There's a mindset change, and I would suspect that the technology has influenced a lot of that with what's exposed on television now.
Yes, the technology also, there's been a shift in the way some men view marriage and commitment. For an example, if you interview some black men who are single, they'll say, well, I'm enjoying myself and I'm enjoying the variety to which I'm exposed. I have the pick of the litter now because of the shortage of men, that now I can really have more fun out here being a player than if I were married. So you have that kind of mindset. Then you have some women who say, well, I know he's not right for me, but I'm going to deal with him anyway. For an example, I had a very young female, 25 years old, to come to me for counseling, and she asked me, Dr. Lewis, what should I do when I'm going with a guy who I know means me no good, but my feelings are out there, and I think I've fallen in love with him? So I had to try to figure out, I had to give her some options. Well, you know, if you stay with him, you run the risk of this happening and that happening. And if you leave, you run this risk. So do you want to heal or do you want to continue to dig a bigger hole and a deeper hole for yourself? Because that decision can only be answered by her. Now, if you want to heal, I'll tell you about the healing road down which you need to travel. But if you want to dig a deeper ditch or a deeper hole, then you have to understand how that will affect you. So you have that happening. Also, then you have women, some of the players, and three of them I identify, who are deceitful players. And I will say to women, no one can read a man or woman's mind. And so if a male is deceitful, then you are not initially responsible for what he does because he's good at being deceitful. And so my deceitful players are the silent deceiver, and he's just outright deceitful, and he doesn't talk that much because he makes sure that his deceptive role continues to work. He sets out a plan of action. He is very strategic and methodical about it, and his goal is to get what he wants by any means necessary. And then there's the philophobic player who's also deceitful, but he uses chivalry, and he uses being this genteel man who tips his fedora hat when women pass him by. And he's just so gentleman-like that the woman feels like she has met someone close to Jesus. And he uses that to cover up his deceitful ways. And then, of course, the worst deceitful type is the down-low player. He's the worst type because he's actually engaged in sexual relationships with men and women. Some of the men may know, but he keeps it from the women. So he subjects her to all kinds of problems. And this is across age groups. This ranges from the teens to the 80s and every decade in between. That's correct.
Oh, boy. you know, we only have about 5 minutes left. You did agree to do a series on this, right?
Oh, yes, I have to. If you will allow me, I would love to.
Yeah, we're gonna carry this into the next program here. For our listeners,
fantastic.
And folks want to engage. We had a little impromptu with Mendoza. Then we had the technical difficulties, and I see Cecil is giving me the info that we had some technical problems here with the network. But we're going to pick this back up because I have some questions, and I know our listeners do. You know, for example, I have daughter and nieces and
right.
Well, Not just from a female perspective. Your book even talks about the male perspective, because
right,
it's like
exactly.
A racist is hurtful as a racist as it is
mm-hmm.
as the victim. And people don't think about that aspect of it. They don't. They may
right.
not feel it initially, but to be a racist and a bigot is harmful to oneself. There, not just the victim who feels. So you talk about the males and how a person can help their male child in terms
mm-hmm.
of being a player. So I want to get into some of that. Of course, I want to get into, you know, how can a female, you know, identify. Like, for example, the
right.
one stands out. The silent deceiver,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you know? How long are you in that relationship before you know? How soon can you recognize? Are there certain keys that you can know versus waiting and having to find out, you know, a month
right.
or 6 weeks or a year later? I want to get into
mm-hmm.
some of those questions.
Oh, yes.
And
well,
can a player change, you know? That gets into
only
again.
Only if he decides to change. Too many women, Daryl, think that they can change men. Women can't change men, and one man can't change another man. Only a person can change himself or herself. So only men can change, but they decide when they're going to change and how they're going to change.
You know, with the few minutes we have left, do this because we're about action orientation. I'm sure
okay.
listeners, if they're not listeners themselves who have this challenge, then they know someone who has. What is a woman to do or think who is single and would like to, you know, find a man who is willing to at least consider being committed sincerely, just at a high level? And we're gonna peel back on some of these layers as we get into this dialogue over the weeks and months and year ahead.
Right.
Just leave the listeners with something that they can take away until we come back again.
Sure, Daryl. One of the main things women have to do is make sure that what he says is consistent with what he does. And if they notice inconsistency, they need to then look deeper. And women need to approach relationships not from an emotional, affective level, but from a cognitive, objective, pragmatic level. Emotions have no brains. We do have a system of thinking, but it's in the cognitive self. It's not in the emotional self. And when women see the red flags, Daryl, they have to acknowledge them, admit to them, and realize that they can't change the man, that all that may happen is there will become more red flags, and if need be, they need to investigate him. We are involved in relationships with strangers. Once upon a time, you lived next door to the person or in the same block or down the street. Your parents knew him, his parents knew you, on and on and on and on. Strangers meet today. And so if you don't know this man is who he says he is, and I have had cases where women were dating a man, he gave them the wrong name, the wrong address. He acted like he was poor when he had money. He drove his old truck when he had a luxury car. So all kinds of things can happen. So sometimes you have to have the person investigated. But do not rely solely on emotions, because it gets women in a world of trouble every time. That's what I need to tell the women listeners. Rely on your brain power, and it will liberate you.
Do not rely on emotions.
That's right.
Wow. Is that like, what has love got to do with it?
That gets at what has love got to do with. Somebody telling you they love you, but they're being physically abusive, or they're being emotionally abusive. So what does love have to do with it? And I have had cases where the husband or the boyfriend would tell the wife or the girlfriend how much he loved her, and then he becomes physically abusive and say, hey, I want to take you out to dinner. And she says, look at me, look at my bruises. And he goes and gets the Acarub to rub on her. He
wow.
goes and gets the alcohol. And then he still wants her to go out. And she believes when he says, it won't happen anymore. I just couldn't control myself, and you made me angry, and you made me lose control of myself. She actually believes that he's going to change. But the only way those kind of men change is that the woman has to do something to him that's short of killing him. And he may, and then the fear may get into him. I'm not suggesting this. I'm just
right.
saying that's the only way I've known some of them to rethink their physical abusive behavior.
Oh, my God. You know, Dr. Lynn Lewis, for those who caught the end of this, and you need to go back to the archives and catch the beginning if you're just catching the end. So we're going to pick up on where we are leaving off here. We're talking with Dr. Lynn Lewis, a relationship guru, literally, therapist, sociologist, author, and her latest book, Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game, How to Spot Ineligible Bachelors. You know, for those who want to get the book between now and when you come back, how can they get the book?
They can. It's at most Barnes & Noble bookstores, and they can go on Amazon.com and purchase it. And they can also go on Walmart.com and purchase it as well.
All right. We've been talking with Dr. Lynn Lewis. What a joy. What a pleasure. Don't hate the player. Learn the game.
My pleasure, Daryl. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I have to, and I'm looking forward to next week. So, listeners, I thank you again for the time out to tune in to Progressive News Weekly. And ask to share and twist head. Don't rely on your emotions. Up and live. So when you're riding through the road, don't you complicate your mind. Enjoy the rain. Stop and smell the roses.